Welcome to G Talk. G Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned. Welcome to G Talk, and we are your host, Terrence and Adara, and we are so happy to come back to you this week. You know, honey, the church is really in a new reformation. I feel like God has showed me that a few years back. He is reforming the church. That this time is going to be all about what he wants, not so much about what we want. And I believe today we're going to talk a little bit about one of the areas that I really believe God is reforming in the church, that he's literally going to changing the way we see disciple making, the way that we see bringing people into the church, and really what the purpose and what our goals have been or should be. So
that's good. let's just dive in there. I'm ready for the Lord to peel away another layer.
Definitely.
Of Adara.
Yeah. We always try to stay. I mean, it's our heart to like, Lord, what are you doing right now? Where are you going? And it's funny because throughout people have always said, what are you guys doing? And what, you know, not understanding maybe, but it's like, we're not really caring about whether or not people get us or get what we're doing. It's like, we're just trying to follow what we feel like we hear the Lord saying. And sometimes it in our own flesh, we do things maybe incorrectly or maybe in a way that might look strange or whatever. But our hearts are, I think, have always been, Lord, we just really after you. We're not really after people's opinions or what they really want and or expect from us. We're just trying to find you and follow you.
Yeah, I think what's exciting is when he says that I'm new every morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm discovering that.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's a wonderful journey. It's a challenging journey because he's doing things differently. And as we dive into just helping us understand converts versus disciples and what our purpose is all about, I feel like that when I wake up, I'm seeing that he's revealing something that I didn't know, that how he moved, you know, when I was younger, he's doing it different.
Yeah.
We're in 2019. It's much different than 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Just even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's different. Huge. And because of the fact I'm able to, like we ended last week, was loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, that being able to love him, I must be able to trust him. I need to, I trust him when he's saying, we're going to do life different.
Right.
And I'm fine with it. And I don't owe anyone an explanation.
No, you don't. You really don't. And it's funny because, I mean, I really look at ourselves, you know, we're missionaries. And people, they don't get that at all. It's like, well, you're in Arkansas. Like, believe it or not, God is sending people to Arkansas as missionaries.
Yes, he is.
He's sending people to some of the strangest locations. And what do you do when you go over there? Well, it doesn't matter whether we're in Africa or we're in Asia or whether we're in Arkansas. You go and you start mingling with the people. Mm-hmm. You start working and doing what they do. And you get to know people and you start building relationships and you start sharing. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you go. This is the way it works. We certainly wouldn't be here if he hadn't sent us here.
Right.
We would be still in California.
And we could be doing lots of things because, you know, growing up, it was that you needed to stay busy.
Exactly.
And so you find yourself staying busy.
Yes.
But it's the Martha side. It's nothing wrong with Martha.
That's right.
But the Mary of Bethany being able to sit at the feet of the Lord, what is he saying?
What's he saying?
And I'm desperate to know what he's saying. I'm desperate to hear his words. And so this is our hour, as we mentioned last week, that every single one of us who are a follower of Christ, this is an important season for us. And it's important that we're hearing what he's saying.
Totally.
That even though tradition may have done it this way, let's talk about some of those things that have been traditional and what he says versus what tradition says or conversion or whatever way you want to label it is fine.
yeah, we got to transition well. So let's talk a little bit. Now, some of this what we're talking about today has come from the Verge Network, and I just don't want to, we want to make sure that we do mention the Verge. You can go to vergenetwork.org. It's a great organization that really is kind of built on raising up really a new type of church and living and being the church.
Right.
And so if you're interested out there, you can go to the vergenetwork.org and see all their material. But Matt Carter has shared some of this at one of their recent leadership experiences. And we're taking some of what this called the five common myths about discipleship making. And I think he just nailed it. You know, and it's just, let's just talk a little bit about it. Why don't you go ahead and run us through, because let's look at the five things that we can easily make the mistake about when we're thinking of disciple making.
So there's the five myths, and I'll say them and then we can just kind of tap into there.
Okay.
And myth one, it will just happen. Mm. That's a view that many people have about discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Myth number two, crossing cultures is a step beyond the general mandate. Myth three, Jesus wants converts. Myth four, when I am ready and able, I will start making disciples. And let's see, I believe that it was four.
No, it's five.
It's five? Okay.
Making disciples is great advice.
Oh, making disciples is great advice. So we want to, the purpose of this is to really pretty much start with ourselves. You know, a lot of times we've been taught a certain way, think a certain way, and there's sometimes we utilize a lot of these myths as a cop-out or misinformed.
Yeah.
Or just because I just don't want to. So part of it is when we're talking about we are church is to make sure we understand what we are church is.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead on and let's start with it will just happen. That's a myth. What's your view on that?
Well, I think, you know, what's a failure to plan is planning to fail. God did not create anything without planning it out.
Right.
And he talks about the fact that everything that he has put together is part of a great plan that he has put together. And we are no different. It's amazing how many times, how easy it is to just think, well, you know, people will just show up to church, or people will just, you know, I see it all the time when I was a pastor, you know, talking with pastors and even myself making the same mistake of just thinking people are just going to show up at our church and we're just going to, you know, whatever, you know, and not having any type of an idea what to do when they do come.
Right. I like this quote that Matt says. He says, many Christians think, consciously and unconsciously, that we can make disciples without changing anything in our daily lives. That we can go about doing our own thing. Disciples will be almost accidentally made. This comes across in a phrase like, I will just live my life daily, and if someone wants to ask about the gospel, I will share it. Or, I just do life with others and pray that they will start becoming interested in Jesus.
Yeah. We got to be really intentional, don't we, about how we come across and really looking. I think one of the mistakes that we easily, that I see oftentimes making, because we made it, I made it. Let me just be very, very clear. The mistake of trying to feed a person that's not hungry. You know what I'm saying? Yes. It's like, you know, it just is what it is, you know, and we will bang our heads against the wall trying to reach people that really don't want to be reached, and then walk right past the people who are truly hungry and truly looking for the gospel and truly looking for an answer, because they don't look the way we think they should look or act the way we think they should act. it's imperative that we make a plan. And part of that is learning how to recognize who's hungry and who isn't.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And I think what happens as well as with this myth that it will just happen is that we don't feel like we need to be connected in this at all.
Hmm. Yeah.
That it will just happen. I go to work and, you know, I don't, we have allowed the world, people who are uncomfortable with this area of sharing their faith we can begin to think that I don't want to, I mean, and I'm not talking about just force feeding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about that we won't even take steps.
Right.
That we will say that I don't want to get them upset. Mm. I don't, you know, we will say things, but it's really us.
Yeah.
That has the problem.
Yeah.
We will say that, you know, I need to be sensitive. You know, I don't want to, you know, ruffle them, offend.
Yeah.
And we make these statements.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't what Jesus told his disciples.
Right.
Okay. We need to confess.
Yeah.
And we need to come to grips that, God, I'm uncomfortable with this.
Mm.
This is really difficult for me.
Yeah.
And instead of saying it, we make it a doctrine. We begin to tell people it's okay that you're not ready. It's okay that it may take you years. Really?
Hmm.
When he told them to go, take nothing with you, that's not about saying, well, let me go back and do some more planning. I need to do some more reading. No. When the lady was at the well, and he began to tell her about herself,
right?
She went back, and she was the one that one of the biggest revivals started with her.
Right.
It didn't say that she didn't go to college or she needed to wait to go to school or that she's not ready. She just did. She was so impacted by the power of Jesus that she just did. And so when I look at this myth, I look at it as that I can become uncomfortable, or I'm uncomfortable with something.
Correct.
I'm starting to get stirred.
Yeah, you are. I'm turning you down.
I know you're turning down. When I am uncomfortable with something, I need to take that to my Father. Okay. I don't need to make it a doctrine to others because I'm uncomfortable.
Correct.
We are very quick to, when we encounter people that are having the same struggle,
mm-hmm.
we don't redirect. We begin to make it a doctrine that it's okay. You know, I understand. I'm there too. No, I don't want that person to be where I'm at.
Right.
I need to, like, you know what? Jesus, I'm just going to take that step today. You know, I'm going to spend this time with the Father, because one of the things that I look at is that, well, who do I have? What did I just accept in my life? You know, who is Christ? If I'm not having an understanding of who he is and who's dwelling inside of me, what did I just accept in my life if I'm afraid to tell people about it?
Right.
I mean, what is this?
Mm.
You know, because I know when I was in love with you, I wasn't trying to hide it.
Right.
I wasn't.
Right.
I really do love you too. I know.
Thank you, Pumpkin. Yeah.
But I'm just saying we can, these myths that we have, we can then begin to make it a doctrine or a belief instead of just saying, coming clean, saying, you know, God, that's not what you said.
Mm.
I always go back when people say, it's okay, take your time. Let me just say this. You read the word. And what did his word say? If I'm not seeing that, I go back to Daddy. When I go out there, I messed up, or God, I'm just trying, you know, and help me here, because I want to do what your word says. I want to be who your word says. I don't want somebody who's having an issue with what you said become my belief system. My belief system needs to be what your word says, because your word is life. Your word is healing. Your word is power. And if there's something that I'm lacking in my life, then I need to begin to say, okay, Daddy, the first thing again, let me go back to Matthew 22, where it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So let me revisit that again, because I want that person that you place in front of me to be able to know who you are. I don't want them to have my disbelief. I don't want them to the person that I'm sharing with that's saying, I want to share my faith because I'm struggling with it. And I haven't gone back to the word to ask the Lord to heal that area in my life where I'm feeling like that I can't. So I begin to pass on, oh Jesus, I begin to pass on my area that I'm not healed in onto other people. Mm. And that's not right. Mm. So he take me back, God, to where I am. I'm going to sit at your feet because, Lord, I want people to know the love that resides inside of me. I want to be able to share with them. I don't want to just say, well, if it happens, it happens. Mm. Because there's a lot of people he places in our path on a daily basis that was totally orchestrated by him. And I don't want the hindrances of my life to hinder me from missing the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So when I'm saying that, I'm looking at it saying, that's not what I want to be. I want to be that light to people. And so I know we're on myth number one. Yeah. And we haven't even got to two. Yep. But there's just something about, because I know I've done that. When you can see the heart of them wanting to share Jesus, and then they're, you know, and then we want to start making it to where, well, it's okay. It may take you a year to really share the Jesus. Mm. No, I don't want any of me telling a person what they can't be and be through the Lord because of where I'm at.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
That's take a breath. I'm trying.
We got to go number two.
Jesus, you're good. All right.
That's good. That's good. So crossing cultures to step beyond the general mandate. And, you know, it's one of them areas where I just think if I've ever seen a problem with this, it'd probably be in our culture, because we don't, the fear or the just an unwillingness to leave our culture to go to another culture has gotten to be at an epidemic levels. And what Jesus was saying is that he's told his 12 disciples that turned into 50 that they would go into all the world, right? Matthew 28, if you go to Matthew 28 and you read, he's like, all power has been given unto me. Go ye and make disciples of all men and women, right? All nations, all ethnos, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and I am, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, his promise, I mean, what he's saying is, I want you to, you need to cross culturally, you need to cross ethnos, nations, you need to be willing to cross over. So these were, you know, all Jewish believers that he's saying go into a non-Jewish world and make converts. Now that was totally something new that a Jewish person at that time would have never have thought or believed, because they only thought really that the kingdom was for themselves. So Jesus is like racking the world and saying, no, I'm releasing you to now cross over into other nations and to invite them into this kingdom. And so this is something that there's really no way to express it and explain it, but it's probably, I mean, for us to break out of our cultural comfortableness and into another style and another, you know, group is something that he's commanding. He's not saying, if you get around to it, if you feel like it, if you feel like, you know, like there are some things that you can share together, then do this. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, I am calling you. I am telling you. I am commanding you, if you love me, that you will go into another area. You will find other areas, other ethnos groups, other cultures, and you will share my love with them.
Right.
So it's a hardcore command that Jesus is really making. And we have to get to the place where we just obey what the Lord says. I have found over and over again, people constantly saying, well, I'm waiting for the Lord. The Lord hasn't told me to go. He just did.
He just did.
He just did. Matthew 20, he just told you to go. He told you to leave your people and go somewhere else. That's what he said. He doesn't have to tell you what he's already told you.
Right.
Let me just say it again. Jesus never has to tell you what he already told you. It's like getting a traffic ticket and saying, well, you didn't say that I could never, you know, run a red light. Well, listen, did you take the original? Did you get your driver's license? Yes. When you got your driver's license, did it not say you could not? Yes. Well, then I don't have to keep telling you that you don't have, that you can't run red lights.
Right.
You're supposed to know because you originally got the word. Well, here's the original word, Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples. I think there'll be a lot of shocked people when we stand before the Lord and find out that he's going to be like, why didn't you go?
Right.
Well, I was waiting. Waiting for what? I told you.
He said to go.
He said to
go. And what I think is really interesting with this is that, again, tradition, there's different ways that people have been taught. So mm-hmm. we're having to have the God just really cleanse our understanding. Because I know the Jews had to experience that as well, because they were to stay amongst their own people. I mean, that
Correct.
Started back when we're looking back when they got the laws from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they were, now that he's wrecking their world.
He is.
Because during this, you know, this is how they were taught. This is what's been passed down. And now he's saying, all right, so I sent my son. He's done what he needed to do. And now it's time to go outside your walls.
Yeah.
That where I've had you. I've right. had you here.
That's right.
But now I'm telling you.
Right.
And he didn't just say it, because a lot of people say, well, what does Jesus know about it? He was up in heaven. Let's talk about that. Let's just look at the phrase, but I thought his phrase for myth number two is really great to segue in. Furthermore, the model of Jesus mandates crossing cultures. Jesus left his home with the Father, his culture, his language, his people, the Trinity, to come to our home, earth, to our people, to speak our language, to grow up in a Jewish culture, and so on. Jesus was a cross-cultural missionary, and he commands us to follow in his steps, cross any boundary, live incarnationality, and make disciples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. He lays it out for
us. He modeled it.
He did. He did. He modeled it completely. What he was expecting, he did it first, which he always does first.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told, I mean, God from the very beginning told the nation, you know, he told Abraham, he told Isaac, and he told Jacob
mm-hmm.
that I am going to bless you, and through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed.
Right.
Up until that point, only they had been blessed.
Yes.
And so it was like, you know, the promise had always been
mm-hmm.
that there's coming a day that God is going to send you into the nations to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it was like, okay, it's time. Now you need to go and make sure that the rest of the nations are blessed through you.
Right.
And so...
what a loving Father.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you think of, I mean, yeah, it's just the amount of time it took. I mean, you know, just... Mm. But yes, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Wanting to touch all of, and we wouldn't be here today had it not been for that command
yes.
to you and I, unless you're listening today and you're Jewish, then guess what? We are all the result of Jesus giving that command and them going. And so in reverse, you know, how are you and I now going to take that command and go and reach
yes.
The nations?
And with that, that is so important as we even move into the next one, is to be able to understand that it's the nations.
Yes.
So one of the things that I'm learning more, especially because we have so much social media, we have news everywhere, that it's very easy for us to see ourselves as just the United States.
Right.
I am beyond the United States.
Right. And there's so few of us.
Right. But it's easy to just see that I'm part of just this.
Right.
And it's like, no, you are now part of the family of God.
Mm.
It's much greater than the United States. And
yeah.
I have nothing, there's nothing
right.
wrong with where I live. But I'm
right.
saying that my focal point isn't the United States.
Mm,
my
right.
focal point is the nations. And I have to see from the lens of the Father how he sees people. It's easy when we see the different nations that are coming against us, right?
Yeah.
It's for a lot, it's hard for people to say, well, how do I pray for that nation that's doing that to us? We're not of this world.
Right, okay? Exactly.
So we have to see how the Father sees.
Right.
Remember when you brought the passage up about that, what would come from Abraham, nations and nations and nations. So my focal point can't look at it from the lens of the U.S.
Right.
My focal point has to see the Father, that he wants to see everyone have the opportunity to know him.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, there's just...
It's a mind shift.
It is a mind shift. We mm-hmm. were never meant to be here and be here permanently. Our mind was always supposed to be that we were strangers here and that God has sent us here to mm-hmm. do something. And so our mind was completely supposed to be, you know, in another mindset. But I think what happened, because America was built on the principles of God, mm-hmm. we were all believers, because there has always been a cultural fight mm-hmm. between America from the very outset. There's been a cultural fight, although morality was always something that was held on both sides. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a conflict, because morally, even though there were people that were, you know, deists or whatever, they're different, they still had moral beliefs that lined up with Christianity, and so there wasn't a problem. But now, over 200 years, we've seen how now the moral shift from those two sides have now turned into a completely different thing. But what I'm trying to say is, as a result of that, when we did start, we saw ourselves as a Christian nation, and we were.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result, I think we got comfortable, because everybody were believers, everybody knew the Lord, everybody knew about the gospel, and so we did go to the nations, but mm-hmm. then we got comfortable, and now we are comfortable. But we have to stop seeing ourselves as Americans and see ourselves as believers,
yes.
part of God's kingdom. And I believe that's part of this reformation, is the reforming of our thinking to beginning to see ourselves from the kingdom perspective and not the American perspective. And that shift is happening. And so we're out of time. So we got through two of these. So we're going to end up doing another week. Yay, right? So here we go. So we'll come back next week and we'll pick it up here and jump on the third one. And Jesus wants converts, and we'll carry that through and see if we can finish it next week. And then, you know, we may have to mix it up with some of the other things, but we'll just see how this turns out. So we'll come back. Have a great week. Love you. We'll come back next week to pick it up.
G-Talk is a ministry of Hope for You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.